Well, today's gospel is really kind of a shocker for the poor Pharisees. To begin with, it is true that the whole idea of Corban is really kind of a human tradition. That's true. If you sort of trace it back, you know, it is a tradition. But Jesus is really not focusing so much on that. What Jesus is focusing on is two things. First is that the interior law, you know, what's going on inside of our hearts, what's going on in terms of the attitudes that we have, what's going on in terms of compassion that we have for others, the empathy that we have for others, is more important than all of these other kinds of things, which, honestly, the dietary prescriptions were thought by the Pharisees to be really the word of God too, all right? I mean, those things are in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and they're clearly thought to be part of the Torah, the law of God, the word of God. And so in a way, the Pharisees are probably almost flummoxed, you know, when Jesus says, you know, well, you know, it's okay for my disciples to violate this, but more on that in just a moment. The point, though, Jesus is trying to refocus everything so that the inside is matching the outside, so that we're not honoring God with our lips, that is to say, our exterior words that we're saying to others or exteriorly in prayer, but that, you know, it's in our hearts as well as our exterior lips. So the first thing he's worried about is he's really worried about the interiorization of the law and the word of God as well as its external part. And so he's really shaken the Pharisees up by doing this, but he's doing it for a point. He's not doing it just to shake them up. He's doing it because he wants them to see you are missing something. The old adage that goes back to the very first day of logic class, there are far more errors of omission than commission. And this is a big error of omission. You are forgetting the heart. But then Jesus goes to even another depth. And again, he kind of gets the Pharisees, you know, he sort of flummoxed because, of course, they think they have a right to, you know, the Corban, to the donations that are given to the temple of the Lord or set aside to be dedicated to the Lord. But of course, what Jesus is trying to tell them is, hey, Corban, right, what you have set aside to dedicate for the Lord, you can't leave your parents destitute in order to give extra Corban. You can only give Corban to the extent you can afford Corban, right? In other words, you can only set aside what you can really set aside without neglecting the obligations you have in compassion to your family and to your friends, right? So in other words, there are certain things that are required to be done, you know, and of course, where are the parents going to go? There is no welfare system in Israel, right? I mean, if you leave your parents destitute, they're destitute, right? I mean, in their old age, there wasn't set aside retirement funds, didn't go down to the bank to take some Social Security. There's nothing. And so for all intents and purposes, Jesus is saying, you got to put the law of love and compassion and empathy first, particularly to the obligations which you have under the Decalogue. That's the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses. You have to start there with that obligation, with that love, with that commandment that God has asked of you, which is so fundamental that they're, you know, the other commandments, you know, they come in part. Now, when Jesus does this, again, Jesus is setting these priorities. And these poor Pharisees, they're just literally, what are you saying? One law is more important than the other law? Well, yes, I'm saying that. And of course, the Pharisees, many of them did rank the laws from heavy, which are really important, to light, which are, not important. And of course, you have medium light, you have medium heavy, you got all kinds of things, right? So they had rankings. But the way in which the ranking was established was not on the basis of love, but was really on the basis of whether the law might, you know, center on the Shema, right? Hear, Lord, you know, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, now, the love your neighbor as yourself, that was a light commandment in Israel's law. The Shema, love the Lord your God part, that was a heavy commandment. Now look at what Jesus does when he brings the two commandments together of love the Lord your God with love your neighbor. He suddenly makes a light commandment, namely love your neighbor as yourself, given in Leviticus. He makes that commandment heavier than, just as heavy as the Shema, right? Love the Lord your God. So loving the Lord leads to loving neighbor, leads to love of self, leads to love of God, and they're all together, and they're really super heavy. And in these two commandments, the entire law and the prophets are summarized. So these two are the heaviest of all. Now, of course, in that context, it makes perfect sense to say, hey, you got to take care of your parents before you're taking care of Korban. You have to make sure that the love of neighbor is commensurate with the love of God. You can't use the love of God as a pickaxe to neglect your poor parents who have nothing else to rely on. That's a violation of the love of neighbor at the very highest level, because it's in the Decalogue, it's in the Ten Commandments. So the key thing then, right, for Jesus is he's reorienting everything. Now, of course, you know, Jesus, he really has got these Pharisees. I mean, I got to tell you, the Pharisees here, they got a right to be really confused, because, of course, Jesus is reorienting everything. But he's reorienting everything that's going to change the world for centuries upon, until this very day. It's going to change the world completely and utterly. It's going to be part of the reason that the Christianity takes over the whole Roman Empire so quickly. I mean, they're the ones concerned about the slaves. They're the ones educating the people who are uneducated. It's the Christians who are doing this because of the hugeness of the love of neighbor. But the point I'm trying to get to is, here are these Pharisees, and they're trying to figure it all out. And of course, they are the ones who get Jesus going, right? So they bring the accusation, you know, gotcha. And Jesus goes, no, you don't, because you don't know God. Double gotcha. So he get them back, and of course, they go away, and they're going, argh. You know, but the world is changing. The whole law is changing. The primacy of love is coming. And of course, we can see in Jesus' messianic way that he is literally changing everything. And the world will never be the same again. It will be swept away by the love that is brought through the Christian church, through the word of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the church and sacraments. And so what we see then is, of course, this change that's coming. But we also see the consternation. No change comes free of charge. And eventually Jesus knows he'll have to die for the change. But it will be worth it, because in the very dying, he will not only change the doctrine that'll change the world, he will give of himself unconditionally in an act of love that will defeat Satan completely. It's a gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. It's the perfect, perfect mission of the perfect Messiah who completes it at the age of 33. Amazing. Amen.